Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, February 23, 2025, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8:8. Moreover, the ones who are in the flesh, that is, under the authority and control of the sin nature, absolutely are not able to please God. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about pleasing God or not pleasing God. We're going to take a look at some of that. First of all, we're going to look, point one, at etymology. There are Hebrew words for pleasing God, and there are Koine Greek words for pleasing God. First of all, a Hebrew word is kaphetz. That's C-H-A-P-H-E-T-S, kaphetz. And kaphetz means to delight in, to take pleasure in, to be pleased with. So sometimes in your translations that you have before you, they will translate kaphetz to delight in or to take pleasure in. It is the verb to be pleased with. And so when we get to, we're going to be looking at some of those passages. I'm going to be translating it to be pleased with, kaphetz. And then the Greek, there are many words used for the Greek that teach pleasing. First of all, the one we have in our verse, aresko, A-R-E-S-K, long O, aresko. And aresko means to please, to strive to please or to strive to please. That's what we have in Romans 8:8. And then there is endokeo, endokeo, E-N-D-O-K-E, long O, endokeo. And endokeo means to be well pleased, to be well pleased. And then there is apodektos. A-P-O-D-E-K-T-O-S, apodektos, and that means pleasing, apodektos. And then there is one that's used in a negative way in the Word of God, and that's anthropareskos. This is A-N-T-H-R, long O, P, that's, you see, anthropos, and then A, R, E, S, K, O, S. Anthropereskos. This is used negatively. This is in the Word of God. We're warned, don't go here. Don't be an anthropereskos. And there are a lot of people that are anthropereskos. There's a lot of pastors who are anthropereskos. And this means to be a man pleaser. To be a man pleaser. Now, there's no place for the pastor to be a man pleaser. The pastor is to be a God pleaser, to please the Lord. You see, I'm the Lord's servant. I'm His servant. I'm His slave. And I'm here to please Him. And that is, if that means teaching the Word of God. And so I study the Word of God, not from the translations like you have in your lap, from the Koine Greek manuscripts in the New Testament, and Hebrew and Aramaic in the Old Testament, because that's what God the Holy Spirit put down. That's the God-breathed scriptures in the original autograph. So I study that, and then I teach. And I just go through each book. I've taught just about the entire Bible now in the time I've been here. There's only a couple of books I haven't taught yet. Hebrews I haven't taught yet, and Revelation I haven't taught yet. But I know if I start teaching Revelation, we'll get all kinds of strange people coming in here. Who's the Antichrist? You know, are you going to teach who the Antichrist is? No, I don't know who the Antichrist is. But those are the only two books I haven't taught, except for 3 John, but it's just around the corner. I'm already studying 3 John, so I'm done with studying 2 John. I've started studying 3 John, and then after that, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th John, if you can find it. And then we'll get to Hebrews and Revelation. So I guess I figured God must want me to stay in the saddle and keep teaching for a while. I got a couple of books left to go. So as soon as we finish the last book, I'm out of here. That's it. So here's a negative word, anthropereskos, and God does not want pastors to be man pleasers. I'm here to please the Lord. Now when I'm studying, like I start Romans chapter 1, verse 1, word by word by word through verse 1, then verse 2, then verse 3. I just go along. And I know when I get to certain passages, I know, well, you know what, this is going to step on these people's toes. But if I'm a man pleaser, then I don't teach it. If I'm a God pleaser, I teach it exactly as God put it down there. And I'm not to be a man pleaser. So I know sometimes they'll probably step on certain people's toes. I'm here to please the Lord, not to be a man pleaser. So I will teach exactly what God has here. Because you need to know exactly what God has put here. That's the only thing that can ever help you in any way, is to know what God put here. So here's a bad word, anthropereskos, man-pleaser. A man-pleaser never pleases God. Point 2, believers living their life under the authority and control of the sin nature cannot please God. And that's our verse, Romans 8:8. Believers living their life under the authority and control of the sin nature cannot please God. That's our verse, Romans 8:8. Moreover, the ones who are in the flesh under the authority and control of the sin nature absolutely are not able, not even able to please God. Point 3. Reversionistic believers and unbelievers, but we're looking primarily at believers. Reversionistic believers and unbelievers are not pleasing to God. Reversionistic believers and unbelievers are not pleasing to God. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. First Thessalonians 2, we're going to start at verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. Just as you know, and by the way, these were great believers in Thessalonica. This was where the Roman soldiers retired. This is one of their favorite cities to retire in, was Thessalonica. And they understood the principle of authority. One thing about men that have served in the military, they understand the principle of authority and being in subordination to authority, to respect authority. And these men respected authority. They had served in the military. And when the Apostle Paul taught them, they understood he was the authority. And they had respect for the authority of God and the Word of God and for Paul as the communicator of the Word of God. And as a result, they moved out. They really were doing great. Verse 11, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And walking in a manner worthy of God is living the spiritual life that God has for us in the church age by the spiritual skills. Verse 13, and for this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received from us the word of God's message, the absolute truth of the Scriptures, you accepted it. Positive volition. Humility. Great humility. Again, these were military people. They had great humility, great respect for the authority of God, His word, and the pastor who teaches it. You received from us the word of God's message. You accepted it. Not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, fellow believers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same suffering at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. They were not pleasing to God, but hostile to all men. Verse 16, listen, hindering us from teaching the Gentiles that they might be saved, with the result that they always fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the utmost. 1 Thessalonians 2:11-16 teaches the seriousness of hindering the teaching of the Word of God. Anyone who tries to hinder the ministry of God's servants, today that's the pastor, that person is not pleasing to God. In fact, he places himself under the wrath of God, maximum divine discipline. Point four, the faithful communicator of the Word of God, serves and strives to please God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not men, but God. The faithful communicator of the Word of God serves and strives to please God, the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, but not men. 1 Thessalonians 2, you're in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4. But just as we were examined in the past, with the result that we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel ministry, even so, we keep on proclaiming the gospel, the grace gospel, absolutely not as pleasing men, but serving and striving to please God, who continually examines our hearts. Now the pastor is the servant of the Lord. As the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the pastor's purpose is to serve and strive to please the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why when I see the passage when the Lord asked Peter, Peter, do you love me? And he said, yes, I love you. And he asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I love you. Then feed my sheep. I love the Lord. The number one love of my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. The number two love is sitting right over here. Number one love of my life is the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And He says, if I love Him, then feed my sheep. God gives each faithful pastor a certain flock of His sheep. I'm not everybody's pastor. I'm the right pastor for the flock that God gives to me. And just that flock. And some of them are here face to face. They're part of the flock. Some of them are all over the country in areas where there's no sound Bible teaching. There's a lot of places in this country where believers cannot get face-to-face sound Bible teaching. And they're part of this flock. So the flock that God has given me includes face-to-face part of the flock and non-face-to-face part of the flock. But they're all a part of the flock, and I'm their right pastor. I'm not everybody's right pastor. Just the flock that God gives me. So, as the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, the pastor's purpose is to serve and strive to please the Lord Jesus Christ. God's plan for the pastor is to serve and strive to please Christ and not men. The pastor teacher pleases the Lord Jesus Christ through his faithful and consistent studying and teaching of the Word of God. Pastors absolutely are not to be man pleasers, but God pleasers. Faithful pastors do not avoid teaching certain passages of the Word of God because they might step on someone's toes or offend someone. I'm teaching the Word of God. If that offends you, that's between you and the Lord. But I am not going to offend the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm His servant. I'm His slave. And I'm going to teach His word. So the faithful pastor does not avoid teaching certain passages of Scripture because they might step on someone's toes or offend someone. Pastors are to teach the whole counsel of God's word as an honorable servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is constantly testing and examining the hearts of His servants, pastors, to see if they are man-pleasers or whether they are serving and striving to please the living and true God. Point five, Point five, the pastor's job is to consistently and faithfully study and teach you Bible doctrine so that you can grow up spiritually in the grace orientation and knowledge, doctrinal orientation of the Lord Jesus Christ, and please God to the maximum. The pastor's job is to consistently and faithfully study and teach you Bible doctrine so that you can grow up spiritually in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and please God to the maximum. And here's the principle. The believer who grows up spiritually and attains spiritual maturity, he will please God to the maximum. He will glorify God to the maximum. The believer who grows up spiritually to spiritual maturity, he will please God to the maximum, and he will glorify God to the maximum. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. Let's start at verse 1. Finally then, brethren, fellow believers, royal family of God, we request and command you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us doctrinal teaching as to how you ought to walk, living the spiritual life, and please God, just as you actually do walk, you are living the spiritual life, you are pleasing God. Again, this is this great congregation, a lot of military people in this congregation, that you may excel still more. He says, you've been doing a great, great job. You got great respect for the authority of God, the authority of the Word of God, the authority of me as the communicator of the Word of God. You have been responding, learning, believing the Word. You have been growing up. You're living the spiritual life. But you're living the spiritual life, but in a quarter, let's put this in terms of track and field. Let's get this nailing it. Track and field. You're running the quarter mile. You're at the 300 meter mark. You're doing great. You're at the 300 meter mark. But you have another 100 meters to go to reach the objective, spiritual maturity. So you haven't crossed the finish line. You're just 300 meters in. You've got three-fourths. You have another quarter. Some of you have maybe another 10 meters. But anyway, you're getting closer. But cross the finish line. That's what he's saying here. See, Paul and God love track and field. I just wanted you to know that. For you know, you ought to walk and please God just as you actually are walking and pleasing God. You're doing great. You're about the 300 meter mark. You got another 100 meters. So that you may excel still more and cross the finish line, attain spiritual maturity. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. So Paul wants these believers to know that they're right on track. You're doing great. These are great believers. They're positive believers. They're humble believers. They're growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. He wants them to know that they are living the spiritual life, that they are pleasing God. But Paul tells them they need to keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. You are in spiritual adulthood. That's great. But you can excel still more to spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity, that's crossing the finish line. So, and they did. Paul loved these believers in Thessalonica. Point six, pleasing God, living the spiritual life, attaining spiritual maturity, demands great self-discipline. Great self-discipline. Turn over to 2 Timothy. We're in Thessalonians. Turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul uses a military metaphor. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Suffer hardship with me as an honorable soldier of Christ Jesus. As an honorable soldier, not a good soldier. Good is, the word good is agathos. We don't have agathos. This is the word for good. A-G-A-T-H-O-S. That's good, but we don't have good. We have kalos. K-A-L-O-S. Honorable. Honorable. Suffer hardship with me as an honorable soldier of Christ Jesus. Verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And for us, that is the Lord Jesus Christ enlisted us as a soldier. So no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And that means great self-discipline. And that means separating yourself from anything that would distract you from living the spiritual life. This demands recognizing that the Word of God is more important than the air that you breathe. Point seven. It pleased the Lord to make the Word of God great and glorious. It pleased the Lord to make the Word of God great and glorious. Turn over to Isaiah. Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42, verse 21. Isaiah 42, 21. It pleased the Lord. There's our word, kafates. Hebrew word, kafates. It pleased the Lord for the sake of His righteousness to make His law, the Word of God, great and glorious. It pleased the Lord for the sake of His righteousness to make His law, the Word of God, great and glorious. And therefore we have, turn over to Psalm 138. And you hear me quote this verse again and again and again and again. Oh no, not again. Oh yes, again. Psalm 138, verse 2. I will bow down toward your holy temple, and I will praise your name, that's the name used for the very essence of God, who and what God is. Because of your grace and your truth, because you have magnified your word above and beyond all of your name, your very essence. So it pleased the Lord to make the word of God great and glorious. All right, well, that's good. That was point seven. Seven is the number of completion, but we're not quite completed with it. So we'll stop here and we'll pick it up with point eight next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.